Welcome back. This is Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The work of Matt Heath and Chris Stapp has not been to everyone's taste over the years. Indeed, you could sometimes have been forgiven for thinking that local broadcasters were simply terrified by the fact that they were actually screening the duo's Back of the Y TV series. But commissions from MTV Europe and Britain's Channel 4 suggested that there was an international audience for their distinctive brand of trash TV. Now it's Heath and Stapp's debut feature film, The Devil Dared Me To, that's scoring the raves. Those who attended Public Address's Carajo's Great Blend events in Wellington and Auckland this year got a sneak peek of the movie, which brings characters developed on various TV shows over the years, including, of course, the appallingly unlucky stuntman Randy Campbell, to the big screen. The Devil Dared Me To had its global premiere recently at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. After that screening, one critic described it as, quote, "very short, very nutty, and quite a bit funnier than most Hollywood comedies I've seen in recent years," and another simply concluded, "this was frackin' awesome." After the lads had played with their band Deja Voodoo at the music side of the festival, the film went on to a screening in New York, which was enthusiastically promoted by the founders of the ultimate film fanboy site Ain't It Cool News, and then another screening in London. The boys are back in town now, preparing to take up a cluster of film festival invitations around the world. Matt joins us now for a progress report on the greatest New Zealand film since Goodbye Pork Pie. Matt, the film seems to have gone down a storm with people who've seen it in America. Were you surprised by that, given that you know, there's quite a heavy slice of New Zealand humour in there?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, especially when they laughed at the jokes that were exclusively New Zealand and there's no way they could get them. Like, for example, you have a shot of Tepuki and you've made it look like Las Vegas, and they all laugh. But then after I was leaving, they probably laughed because they thought it said Tepuke. I'm not sure. And there was another one where the camera pans around Auckland, and it's got this big Auckland City thing on it like Hollywood, and they all laughed at that. And I was like, how do you know that that's not there? Maybe they just laugh easy.
Do you think maybe they made the connection with you know, Super Dave and Evel Knievel or something like that? Was that what they related to?
Well, the thing, there has been a few mentions of Super Dave, but like, you know, everyone said, unlike Super Dave, this has, you know, got proper stunts in it and it's good. And but yeah, they did. But I think they could see the sort of ridiculousness of it in a way. But then again, the reviews have kind of been like, yeah, they sort of see it as an emotional story and stuff, because, you know, there's sort of heartfelt bits at the end. And I think what's really worked in advantage is people are expecting Jackass, and they got like lots of good stunts, but they also got some kind of story that took you somewhere. So
one boy had an impossible dream.
My uncle will beat the crap out of me, even if I mention stunts.
A dream that would take him.
Because I'm not allowed to even talk about stunts, you know? Because of Aunt Debbie.
To hell and back.
We just want you to be safe. We just want you to be safe.
I think they were also impressed at how many actual jokes there were in there. I think there was one review said that, you know, it's your basic same setup as a Will Ferrell or Adam Sandler sports movie, but much, much funnier.
Yeah.
What did you make of that?
I thought it was good, but what we happened is the first cut we did, it was like about 120 minutes long, and then we went, hang on a minute, let's cut everything out that's not a stunt, a joke, or something mildly sad or violent. And yeah, so then once we did that, the movie made sense. But it's funny, like, as far as they say that it's the same story as one of those things, once you go through the process of making a film, it's almost impossible not to end up with the same story, because everyone demands the story. They're like, what's this bit? It's not part of the standard, you know, three-act structure with six turning points, you know? Where are these bits? And then you end up forced down this kind of path of the same story everyone makes. But at least our one's, you know, I think it's a bit different in some ways. We managed to slip out of that structure a little bit. But, yeah, we definitely tried to get as many gags in there as we can.
And you got the big ups from Harry from Ain't It Cool News, which is like Film Geek Gold.
Yeah.
What was he like?
He was a really nice guy, actually. We had a good chat to him afterwards, and he was actually the one that said to me, you know, I came here expecting Jackass, and, you know, I like Jackass because, I find that stuff funny, but, like, he was like, I hate Jackass, and I was expecting to see that, and then I saw this movie that was quite different from that. And, I mean, because, you know, me and Chris really wanted to make a cross between Top Gun and maybe Top Gun and Gun and Goodbye Pork Pie was our initial thing. So we sort of had the whole Jackass thing out of our minds. But he was right into it for just having that kind of Top Gun-ness to it, I guess. The big end and the helicopter shots.
Yeah, and now that was at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And then you had the other guy from Ain't It Cool News pimping for your New York screening.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
must have been helpful.
Yeah, well, we've got like a New York. We're starting to emerging pictures in New York, and so they're putting on a screening, and Ain't It Cool got behind it, and a few other people got behind it, like Fangoria magazine and stuff. So it's kind of that's what kind of the weird thing that's happening with this film is that it's kind of fanboy, it's kind of stunt normal Will Ferrell type, you know, Adam Sandler type movie, and part like gory. So it doesn't, you know, like a lot of the film festivals we're going to in the next few months are going to be like you know, like fantasy and you know, Fright Fest and things like that. It's sort of just because we threw in a whole lot of really stupid gore jokes in there, you know, so it's kind of gone between them. But yeah, Ain't It Cool News has really got behind it, which has been good because you need something like that.
Hmm. So who came along to the screenings in New York and London? Because you kind of took it on a world tour. What was the idea of those screenings?
The screening in New York was put on completely by our people over there, and they that was just for buyers and stuff, but they got a whole audience in there as well because it was sort of the Tribeca Film Festival time. The one in London was just for a whole lot of drunken New Zealand friends, but that sort of, you know, so we sort of invited a few people along because in Los Angeles I showed it to some three friends in a house and we were all drunk and out of it and wasted and no one watched it. So I was like, I'm not going to show a film anywhere unless it's in, you know, a theatre situation again, because, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, watch this, but it's great. Come on, guys. So we did that. So we put on this festival in London, this screening in London, but it sort of swelled out of control. And just by, like, putting it on the website and stuff, the thing got completely packed out. The place where it was screening, which was in a bar that had a screening area, and the front bar and everywhere just got totally packed out with really drunk people, and everyone was wedged like this watching it, so... If anything, it was worse than the other situation.
Do you think that there are people in the whole culture funding machine here who are kind of relieved that it's gone down so well? I got the impression that maybe they wondered what they'd funded for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like the thing that happened with this is they created Headstrong, a division of the New Zealand Film Commission, so they could sort of invest in films that they don't normally invest in. And try and produce them. I don't know the logic behind it. I wouldn't like to go. I don't know. But so they kind of, I think, expected to have films like this. But then I also think the kind of intention for these films would be slightly experimental or something. And in the end, we made kind of a pretty mainstream film, you know. So I'm not sure what they thought about it. I guess initially it wasn't a huge investment in it, but the New Zealand Film Commission were good enough to, once they saw it, to invest more money in it. And so... Yeah, no, I think they've been happy with it. We've got nothing but positiveness from it. You know, some people have bad stories about the people that pay for their films, but we don't have anything, but they were awesome. It was cool.
Well, that's nice, because as you said, you know, you mentioned Goodbye Pork Pie there, that, you know, I've only seen the beginning, but there's a visual reference. Was there an intent to evoke some of those, you know, the great New Zealand cinema moments?
Well, you know, I think Goodbye Pork Pie is like an incredible film. Like, it blows my mind, like... And we definitely had the idea of travelling the whole country kind of thing, you know, and you know, that's where we got from Goodbye Pork Pie, is going to different little towns in the journey. And I guess so, you know, like, watch lots of New Zealand films. And it's kind of funny, like, when you do stuff in New Zealand, you sort of, like, I mean, I was thinking for the soundtrack album, someone said, how come you've only picked New Zealand music for the soundtrack? And I was like, oh, did we? I didn't even know. You know, I didn't even notice. It just sort of seemed like that's what you do. Maybe I've been indoctrinated by... pro-Kiwi propaganda or something, but it ended up being kind of influenced by New Zealand films and kind of and just New Zealand music, and I guess we live here, so, you know.
Well, speaking of music, you took the band along on tour with the film as well, Deja Voodoo. How was that?
It was great. It was cool, because often me and Chris go overseas and, you know, like, doing stuff, and there's the two of us, and we run around and get drunk, and it's cool. It was awesome to, like, run around and have another two mates there, you know. That was cool, and the shows were really good. So it was great, actually. It was cool to have them.
And your blog the whole way through was just about how much you were drinking every night. I mean, can you keep it up?
No, I couldn't. It was full on. It was like, basically, you would be, I'd drink. Because our job was kind of to drink to promote the film. So you'd receive an envelope there.
Our job was to drink to promote the film.
Yeah, well, I think Americans could just...
That's a fantastic rationalisation.
Well, it was kind of like that, because it was like... The Americans over there could just come up to you, like, when I first arrived, and go, hey, I'm doing this film, I'm doing this, I'm blah, 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 blah. But being a New Zealander, I'm, like, just stand in the corner and do nothing until I'm drunk and then run around and talk to people. So it was cool, because we'd, like, you'd have these envelopes and they'd have five parties in them, starting at 5 o'clock and ending at 2 in the morning. And so you just go to them you know, and you know how you had your badge, so you'd get in there free and there'd be free booze, and then so you'd go to sleep, and then you'd wake up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do an interview or two, and then go to a party, you know. And I was like, so I felt like I was in a free fall of just sleeping, drinking, and just was perpetual. And it was like, one night I was like, I don't think I'd go out. And I'd be like, our other producer was like, you have to come out. We've got this person to meet. And I was like, oh, man. And so it felt like drinking was a chore. But,
And
of course, I mean, I could have gone out sober. I know what you're saying, but that wouldn't have been as fun. There was lots of cool people.
No, that wouldn't have been right. But another thing you did also, I gather, was did some filming for a new series of Back of the Y TV.
Yeah, Back of the Y Series 3. We're sort of filming that at the moment. And we did a lot of stuff around the world for that. And we're going to go and do some more stuff overseas. And we're just trying to bring it together now. And it's good fun, actually.
Cool. I hear Ralston's available.
Yeah, I'd prefer if you just slagged us off. That worked for us well last time. But is he in any position to slag us off anymore?
No, he's not really.
I'm going to try and get him a good job with a good magazine. Actually, he didn't have a good job at a good magazine last time. He was like at the Sunday News or something.
So what's the schedule from here? When are the punters going to be able to see the film here?
I'm not sure. Around September or October. We've got like 7 film festivals to go around the world starting July, so we've got another big world tour with that, and then we'll come back and release the film here. It's only just been finished. It's only just been, because we came back from Austin, even though we had the world premiere there, we came back and tinkered heavily with it, changed some bits, cut some bits that we found boring after the 30th viewing of it at screenings and stuff, and so it's finished in a couple of weeks, and then they'll start the promotion and I don't know when it's coming out. I'd like it out tomorrow, but you know, who knows? It's up to someone else.
Well, best of luck with it,
man. Yeah. Cheers.
All we know about the stunt is that it's going to be motherfuckingly, fuckingly, 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 big.
And that's it for this week. Public Address Radio on Radio Live. We're back again next Saturday, where we've got big iTunes news for the local indie labels. And we're also listening to the Devonport Sound, finding out what that's all about. I'm David Slack. He was Russell Brown. And we were brought to you by New Zealand On Air.
Lovely.